Hello and welcome to the All About Symbian Insight podcast. It's number 152, and because it is a number divisible by 152, it means I'm going to be in the hosting chair. Ewan Spence is taking control, that's me, and joining me we have Rafe Blanford.
Hello everybody.
David Gilson.
Hello everyone.
And Steve Litchfield.
Yes, all drugged up here with a raging toothache and antibiotics and painkillers, but I'm going to struggle through.
Yeah, and for anybody else, Steve is actually listening to the latest Judas Priest album, but there you go. They're doing their final tour next year. Right then, on with the stuff. It's been an interesting week, relatively busy, but also we're in that oasis just before MWC, but there's still stuff to fill up the gap. So let's start off with my favourite piece of news. The Nokia bike charger is here.
Woohoo!
Yeah, it's an old-fashioned dynamo. It goes on the back wheel of your bike, and as you're cycling along, the dynamo creates electricity, which goes into an adapter, which sits on a holder on your handlebars where your phone is. I'm sorry, this is the greatest invention of February. I love this. And it's actually pretty important for Nokia's strategy as well. I mean, Rafe, we tend to forget, but power is not bountiful around the world.
That's absolutely right. I mean, the way this was originally designed, it was kind of a concept for the emerging markets. And the only reason, and the news here is that it's available sort of in Europe in sort of good online retailers and via Nokia stores. The only reason it's really available in Europe is because there's market demand for it. Originally, this was announced, it was in Kenya, and that's the kind of market it's aimed at, where electricity supplies are by no means guaranteed and charging the phone, you know, can be quite difficult. In fact, there's kind of sort of informal industries or shops set up to charge phones off car batteries and other means. And clearly using something like a bike, and you can either use it, you know, or standing still in the sense you put it on some kind of frame and charge it up that way, or you can use it obviously as you're cycling around. This offers an alternative way of getting power into your phone, and we've talked before about the kind of transformative effects of mobile phones in developing countries can have a major impact on the ability to communicate and get information. You know, there's the obvious communication elements, but it's also things like Nokia Life Tools and other similar services. So yeah, this is actually, you know, perhaps a bigger deal than people might think. Just to give you one correction, it's meant to go on the front wheel, although of course being a dynamo you can put it on the back wheel as well. I haven't actually seen one of these sort of in the review units. I did see it at Nokia World, and a couple of our readers have been talking about this, and kind of the news is that the bottle dynamo, which is the bit that fits on the wheel, isn't particularly high quality, but it would be possible to, you know, replace that with a higher quality dynamo and probably get a more efficient transfer of energy. Kind of the critical bit is the transformer and the cables that go from that dynamo you know, through a box, a transformer, and then into the phone itself. The speeds of this, you know, you're actually going to have to be going over 4 miles an hour, no faster than 30 miles an hour, but something tells me that's not going to be a problem for most people. So yeah, I mean, some people are sort of going, oh, this is all a bit boring, but actually, as you say, this actually has implications, you know, beyond just the, oh, it's a nice accessory. It rather speaks towards Nokia's commitment to developing countries and some of the things it's doing out there.
I should point out that you just criticised the bottle dynamo because it's not the highest technology dynamo you can get is a bit misleading, because I have extensive experience of bike dynamos in the past, and the high-tech ones would tend to work off the circumference of the wheel, the actual tread, which sounds like a great idea. You get maximum efficiency, maximum torque, maximum everything. What happens when it rains? And when it rains, what happens is the rubbers just slips on the bike tires, and you get no light whatsoever. So the bottle dynamo, they may be a bit noisy, they may not look terribly efficient, they may not look very high quality, but they'll work come rain, come shine, and will probably very likely never break down.
That's right. And of course, the point about this is that it's got to work on any number of different types of bikes, and so Nokia would have presumably gone for something as generic as possible, and they'd have gone for a relatively low quality bottle dynamo. There are more expensive bottle dynamos that you can buy, but cost is obviously going to be an important factor in this product.
And also repair as well. I suspect that because even for a slightly cheaper unit, it's a generation or two back, it's going to be easier to fix out in the field with whatever you've got to hand. Great. Nice to see your technology being reused, and I'm going to continue that, but not with kinetic energy, but with sound energy. Steve, your favourite application's back, isn't it?
Internet radio, or Nokia Internet Radio, to give it its full title, is one of their best creations, in my view. I like you. I'm dotty about getting streaming music that's of completely almost unknown origin from right around the world, the utterly bizarre to the utterly wonderful. Nokia Internet Radio was a big, big hit on S60 3rd Edition, Feature Pack 2, things like the N96 had it, and the N86 as well, and on S60 5th Edition eventually, and trying to use that on the latest phones produced all sorts of horrible multitasking issues, and it just really wasn't optimized for Symbian 3. The news is that there is now a Symbian 3 version, and it works pretty darn well. And I was listening to it for an hour this morning. There is one downside in that some people have reported there is a conflict with the Nokia Beta Labs big screen application. So if you installed that and you're having problems installing Nokia Internet Radio from the Obvious Store for a Symbian 3 phone, uninstall big screen, because trust me, wonderful though that is, I'm sure that will come out in a mature fixed version. In the meantime, Internet Radio is much, much better and heartily recommended.
Worth saying, Steve, that people can install a big screen afterwards and everything will work just fine.
Ah, okay.
Or indeed, it's actually the problem is with the original version of big screen, there's since been an update to it. So if you install that first and then install Internet Radio, it should work fine. The big screen update fixes some bug fixes and optimizes these image compression and stuff like that. So it'd be worth doing anyway.
And Steve, I haven't tried this one yet, so a quick question for you. What I always used Internet Radio for on the older phones was that I didn't use the directories at all. I always just typed in the URLs of my favourite audio streams and listened to those things. So can this new version take in any URL, or is it limited to directories?
Yes, you can enter your own web addresses, presumably they're shoutcast streams, so you can just put in your own one and it will add it. I'm very happy with the current directory. People underestimate just how large the directory of Internet radio stations is in this application. They think, okay, well, it's going to have 20, it's going to have 100, might even have 500 stations. No. We're talking many tens of thousands of radio stations from around the world, many of which are streaming in very high quality. As I was listening for an hour this morning, I had it plumbed into our hi-fi system in the living room, and the quality is really very, very good on some of these stations. So heartily recommended all round.
Yeah, thumbs up from me too. To point out, for some people who have been quality issues, the quality of the audio is really dependent on the quality of the stream, and some of them are relatively low bitrate streams. Steve did allude to this, but it is limited to shoutcast streams. So if you're looking to do Windows audio stream or real audio streams, that won't work with Internet Radio Player. But the shoutcast stream does seem to be quite widely used, and as Steve says, there's hundreds of stations.
Tens of thousands.
Yes, well, yeah, lots and lots of stations, more than I could count anyway. I suspect for people in the UK, they'll probably miss some of the BBC ones. There is the BBC World Service, but other BBC radio stations can, of course, be obtained through iPlayer. So if you're looking for UK radio stations and you're in the UK, that would be the way to go.
Yeah, and also worth pointing out, for those of you doing comparisons, an FM signal is usually around about 72 kilobit seconds, and most of these streaming radio stations are actually doing at 128. Higher bitrate, but different types of compression. There we go. Technical stuff. Most of the time, this is actually slightly better than FM bandwidth, allowing it in terms of quality. Now then, moving on. As we said at the start, the big news in February is going to be based around MWC announcements before and after, and during that are always a big one. Nokia, of course, previously have done the announcements outside of MWC at a building just down the road. David, you've been taking a look at some of Nokia's initially public plans for what they're going to be doing in Barcelona this year.
Yeah, that's right. Nokia are going to be out in force at Barcelona. We're going to have a couple of big names giving talks. On Monday, we've got Mary McDowell giving a talk entitled Taking Apps to the Mass Market. And then on Wednesday, Stephen Elop will be speaking. He's giving a talk entitled Connecting the Dots, a 360 view on consumer electronics. Also, Nokia's other sub-businesses will be having exhibition stands. We have Navtech, QT and Siemens Nokia Networks. There's also Nokia going to be hosting a developer day at the App Planet event, and Nokia will also be showing off a portfolio of its devices and other services at the Pepcom Mobile Focus event. So for people who are at MWC, there's probably going to be lots of busing and taxiing around. Now, the rest of us are going to be staying in the bitterly cold UK, although a hard life as it is. Rafe, you'll be going off to sunny Spain to see what's going on, won't you?
Yeah, I'll be going off to sunny Spain and spending all of the time on the beach. Yeah, that'd be a nice idea, wouldn't it? Yes, I would indeed be reporting live from Barcelona for both All About Simeon and, of course, All About Mika. And, of course, I'll be keeping an eye on the rest of the industry. There's bound to be a lot of announcements this year. I mean, Nokia do have a relatively decreased presence. There's no stand in the main hall, big demo hall. It's just limited to, as you say, the kind of subsidiaries, Qt, etc. However, they are making a kind of announcement on the Sunday night. There's obviously no details ahead of time what's going to happen, but it would, I mean, I think if we were betting, we'd have to say the likelihood on a couple of device announcements, you know, Symbian 3 related, is pretty high. Of course, we're also looking forward to February the 11th, which is the Friday before MWC, where there's going to be the strategy announcements that Nokia are making. And I suspect much of the Nokia activities around MWC will, you know, fall in the shadow of that to an extent. And of course, we don't know the extent of what's going to happen next Friday. But yes, I will be at MWC. So if there's anyone going, any developers or companies who would like to meet up and listen to this podcast, I'd be happy to arrange an appointment. As with everyone else, you know, time's a precious commodity, but I'm always keen to meet people who can show me an interesting demo or can share their thoughts on what's going on at MWC. And we'll be keeping you up to date with the usual updates via Twitter on the @AAS account and @AllAboutMeeGo. And of course, we'll also have photos going up on the site and news stories. And I'm sure the team back in the UK will be doing their level best to record all the important news and announcements and speculating and analysing as we go. Yep. So looking forward to that. It's going to be always a big industry event. Always tiring, but a lot of fun as well.
And Rafe, how can people contact you?
If people want to contact me, they can get in touch. Rafe at allaboutsymbian.com is probably the easiest way.
So Rafe, you obviously said speculation and analysis there. And obviously a lot of people are speculating, not just us, on the what's coming up on February the 11th. And there's been a lot of column inches written online, obviously mostly from the American market, talking about alternative app stores, alternative operating systems. I mean, Nokia, if they were going to stay completely and utterly steady, they wouldn't mention anything. They wouldn't let this sort of build up because they don't want to have a sort of soft balloon of them saying everything's hunky-dory. There must be something coming for them to allow that speculation to go ahead.
Yes, I mean, that would certainly be my opinion. I mean, basically you're saying the question is, are Nokia going to make a big announcement on February the 11th? And I think the answer to that is yes. The more difficult part of that question is what? But yes, I mean, I think everyone will have seen there's been a lot of commentary ever since that Q4 earnings call where Stephen Elop, you know, talked about the future and talked about a new strategy. And, you know, business are careful when they do that sort of thing. They wouldn't sort of create that level of speculation without having some kind of answer ahead. So that's one element of it. Yes, I do think there's going to be something quite significant. People can get, you know, carried away a little bit in the sense I don't think you'd necessarily have an absolute clear answer. I may be wrong here, of course, but, you know, there is a certain element of people expect an overnight change. That won't happen. I mean, whatever happens, you know, they'll get an announcement, gets made, and, you know, there will be a transition to whatever this new strategy is. In terms of what that new strategy is, I'm going to hedge my bets a bit here. I think there's really two paths that Nokia can follow. One is kind of to stick with the current software strategy in terms of Symbian plus Migo, but, you know, perhaps with some modifications coming in somewhere. And really the focus would then be on how do they execute that properly, and that would be about the accelerated effect of Qt, probably some strategic alliances, you know, emphasizing their partnerships with Microsoft, IBM, etc. Maybe some new ones with Amazon and Nintendo has been talked about. I think the other option then is the introduction of a new ecosystem or a new operating system. And this is obviously the one where I think most of the speculation has gone. And it's easy to dismiss this out of hand, but I do think it has a strong possibility. You know, how profound it is probably up in the air at the moment. And whether that's Windows Phone 7 or Android, you know, you can actually make arguments for both sides, both from a technical and a business point of view. But yes, I do think there is going to be a significant announcement, and, you know, we'll of course be covering that live on the Friday. And I would dare to suggest that actually that announcement will probably be a bigger talking point at MWC than, you know, devices that get announced. Certainly from a Nokia point of view, and perhaps even more generally, because, you know, we've said it before, Nokia is a big company, and so when they make big statements, you know, the industry will stop and listen.
certainly it was a very carefully worded phrase from Elop on that conference call. And it just reminded me of when I wanted something at my dad when I was young. The day before, I would kind of have to plant the seed in his mind and let it grow a little bit and then ask if I could borrow the car or use the adapter to play the chess game or such. Like, you know, I mean, not that I'm saying that how you deal with your parents is how Nokia should be dealing with the analysts, but certainly, you know, Elop's played with the best of them in business, and all of his words have been very carefully chosen. Shall we say that? Would that be fair, Ray?
That is fair. And we have to remember that Elop was brought in as a new CEO, you know, an outsider to Nokia, more so than ever in the past. And, you know, he has been given a remit of making the changes necessary to put Nokia back on top, as you like. And so, you know, he certainly has got, if you like, the mandate from the board and from the shareholders to go ahead and do that. And he'll be wanting to put his stamp on that as soon as possible, especially in the light of something like the Q4 results, which, while not as disastrous as some people make out, you know, certainly indicated that it's relatively dark times for Nokia, pretty much in line with what we've all been expecting. But, you know, announcing a strategy and then he's got to implement it, and that will take time. And so, you know, it'll be a fascinating period to watch Nokia, the transition, whatever gets announced. You know, there are going to be changes. So, yeah, fair comment, Ewan.
Yeah, and staying with the chess analogy, although Elop's been at Nokia a long time, this is the first chance he's got to make a public move. So this is basically his opening, his King's Gambit or his Roy Lopez, and we shall see that. Problem is, we don't have an opening book to find out what happens next. You're just going to have to keep watching our website, www.allaboutsymbian.com, and see if we have to change the name or not. Right then, but in the meantime, there is lots of Symbian stuff going on, and there will continue to be. Even if it's scrapped, it won't disappear overnight with billions of handsets out there. But PR 1.1 has arrived on the handsets, at least on some of the handsets. This is Nokia's, for want of a better word, minor update to the Symbian 3 platforms. Rafe, very, very briefly, and I know that everybody else has been having a play in this where we can. 1.1 is a lot of back-end stuff and some forward-facing changes.
Yes, I mean, I'll leave the forward-facing changes to Steve, but in terms of firmware updates, as the numbers would suggest, I mean, 1.1 and going from version 12 to version 13, this is relatively minor. There are changes in the back end. There are some updates in version numbers of a couple of applications. I mean, I've noticed some general performance improvements, particularly in the mail application and also in web. It's quite difficult to do anything quantitative on those, obviously. But yes, I suspect more of these updates are in the back end, and it may well be preparing things, you know, going forward for future updates. And certainly I'd anticipate that there are sort of bug fixes for performance things in the background. Steve, I know you've looked at this in a bit more detail and actually have some of the visible changes as well for the end users.
Yes. Quick Office, which is one of my favourite applications people may know, improved zooming functions. There's even talk of an editing version now being included. I don't know whether you can check that, David, while I'm chatting on the C7. Just there is rumour that the N8 update, which has yet to come out today as we record this on Friday the 4th of February, may even have editing built in. I doubt that some. I think people are getting their wires crossed. Adobe Reader's also been updated to a new version. Obviously, the Quick Office people are updating it and fixing bugs and adding tweaks here and there as they go. The biggest update for PR 1.1 is probably, apart from just general bug fixes and performance improvements, big updates to email. For a start, email was always a bit kludgy and a bit slow. That has now been significantly improved. I know, Rafe, you saw it a bit much faster on your C7. There's now an unread emails flag added to the home screen widget. You can now accept meeting requests directly from email invitations. That's a big one that people have been waiting for, I think, especially in the business world. And there's now Maps integration, so you can now view the meeting location on Nokia Maps, or Huawei Maps, when an address is mentioned in the location field in the invite. So some significant enterprise features there, I think, and certainly for mobile professionals. There's little things like the dialer now works in landscape mode. There have been some tweaks to the YouTube integration and client, although it's rather a moving target here, because I've always downloaded my YouTube client direct from m.google.com, so I fear I may have to hard reset my N8 to get the Virgin out-of-the-box experience. But thoroughly recommended all round, save the version 13, as I think it will be on the N8 when it actually appears later today. A minor update, but thoroughly recommended, and as Rafe says, it's probably a good precursor to the big PR 2.0, which will doubtless appear next month.
Yes, and I've been testing on the C7 as well. Quite right about the updates on quick office, and I have just double checked, and we do have pinch to zoom, but there is no editing function without buying the upgrade, and there's just generally a new user interface with snappier animations and just a tighter layout, I'd say.
It's also worth pointing out that this will also roll in some of the smaller updates that have been released thus far, at least that's my understanding of it. So the sort of performance updates you get will rather depend on whether you've installed those smaller updates. So if you're going, you know, straight from 12 to 13, you'll probably notice a bigger bump than if you've already installed some of those smaller updates. I mean, as I say, the performance is in the eye of the beholder. I think it depends on what application you use most frequently, but certainly mail, web and photos are ones where I've noticed things just moving along at a brisker clip than before.
Yeah, I mean, Angry Birds still plays the same as always.
Yeah, I can't say I've played Angry Birds since installing the firmware update, but yes, most things won't have changed. And you know, people are asking, you know, why a small update? Well, it could be preparing for things, fixing some bugs that have been in there for a while. The meeting request one's, you know, obviously quite a serious one, and it's good that they finally got that fixed. But in terms of major feature additions, that's what's expected to come in sort of PR 2.0 that Steve hinted at. I mean, Nokia basically said there's 50 updates or 50 new features in that, and you could put that against this one, which has probably got maybe 5 or 6 depending on how you count them, and so, you know, that is things like the next version of the 7.x web browser, as well as you know, portrait keyboard or portrait QWERTY keyboard, and no doubt a bunch of other stuff as well. So keep an eye out for that one as well, because from our understanding of it, that isn't too far off either.
Yeah, it should be noticed that, Ray, I'm sure you know this, that these firmware updates, which may even say 6.8 megabytes in this case, that doesn't sound like a lot, but we're not talking about rewriting entire applications, like the whole of your maps has been replaced, for example, the whole of Nokia email. These firmware updates are effectively block-by-block updates, replacing just the bits in the firmware images that need replacing, and as such, you can pack an awful lot into 6.8 megabytes. If you were to expand that to include all the components of all the applications affected, it will be a lot more. It's actually a very efficient way to do updates.
That's absolutely spot on. I mean, when you consider that the firmware over-the-air technology, and I think in Nokia's case it comes from Redband, I'd have to check that, is actually quite sophisticated in being able to do this in-place updates. I mean, if you download the firmware via the PC, you'll get, you know, 150, 160 megabytes, because it's, you know, not able to do that same precision, presumably, on a PC download. And so this is, you know, this is a big update, relatively speaking, because the changes do get expanded out elsewhere, and it's worth appreciating that that's, you know, quite technically advanced in terms of Nokia is probably a leader in this field in terms of the number of updates it delivers, both in terms of frequency and the number of variants.
I did do an interview, Rafe, with actually on the site, if people were to search back, and you can put it in the show notes. Actually, I interviewed Redband at one of the Symbian smartphone shows, and they actually did a complete hands-on demo and explained how it all works. So I do wish people would go back and look at that, because it's very interesting.
Yeah, and if anyone's wondering, how do we just change all the bits in there, go to Wikipedia and just look up logical AND. And for anyone who's kind of obsessed about version numbers, I added the version number changes to Rafe's story on the site. So if you go to allaboutsymbian.com and look up the story, you can see exactly what we found changed.
So there we go. Let's roll back. Let's not roll back. We want to keep 1.1. It's a nice thing. But let's look back away from the hardware layer and the deep software. There's been a really nice, interesting bit of software come out as well on top of internet radio. Steve, you're just getting fed all the really nice stuff. I suspect they're trying to distract you from something. But the HDR camera application is out. This is right up your street as well, isn't it?
Well, it would be if it was fully integrated and working perfectly, and I think it would be a stonking application. As it is, it's more of a proof of concept. You can tell it's kind of a proof of concept by, if you're going to the appropriate website, HDR Photo Camera is the name of the application, and there's actually a website called HDRPhotoCamera.com set up by the developers, and it's basically the sort of thing you can knock up in half an hour with basic HTML and say it. That's it. That's my website. So I think the whole idea of testing whether they could do it in software, it certainly is part cute, part Symbian, I think, in terms of the actual code itself. It's all rather low resolution. The limitations on processing in the way they've done it, using the Symbian processor and not the GPU, means everything has to be done on the main processor. And as a result, they limit themselves to 1,000 by about 700 pixel images for doing actual HDR photo fusion on the phone itself. If you want to do, you can actually, as I said in the review, the big thing here is the fact that it actually just gives you a very good way of creating three, in N8's case, three 12 megapixel images, one after the other, very quickly, without having to stop and fiddle with the settings and then bring the camera up again and try and frame it exactly as you framed it last time, hope the focusing was the same. This says, okay, forget focusing, I'll just take three photographs, quick succession, different exposure, and I'll fuse it together later on the desktop. The developers do promise a desktop utility as a companion, which will do all this automatically. But of course, you can use things like Photoshop and other photo tools to do it yourself. It's all a bit pointless to an extent on the N8. The N8's camera is so good. I really didn't notice any significant difference and any real benefit, even fusing the images together on the desktop. I can see the HDR photo camera, if they develop it to use the GPU more, if they get the desktop utility sorted, and certainly on other phones with perhaps less capable cameras, this could have a distinct use case. But for the moment, it's proof of concept. Certainly worth downloading if you can afford £8 just to have a play around with, but don't expect anything special.
So just very briefly, HDR does what exactly?
HDR is high dynamic range. I'm sure anybody who's into photography will know what it stands for.
Yeah, that's why I'm asking what HDR is.
Basically, it takes one photo underexposed, one overexposed, and one normal, and it combines the best bits of each so that you get sort of maximum contrast across the whole area of the image. It's basically a way of making your photos look better. So, Ewan, go download it.
Well, it wouldn't be that difficult. Right then, the other stuff is coming up. We've got a busy couple of weeks coming up in the Symbian world, in the smartphone world as well. As we've already mentioned, Mobile World Congress is coming up. That's one for Rafe to deal with. South by Southwest, the whole hipster get-together festival thing in Austin is coming up as well, and will see me on the road. Steve, of course, is going to be quite happy about collating all those notes. And David, I understand that you're locked in the middle of a titanic battle against the forces of evil, which you'll be telling us about next week.
But that's right, yes, I'm currently running around in my underpants bashing creatures overhead with a wooden sword.
Do we want to know that?
Rafe, anything in the near future for you?
Well, I wasn't thinking very much in the near future for me, Ewan, but I know you've been busy this week reviewing the C503, which I think we're sort of run out of time for we're on this podcast.
I believe we have, yes, but everybody's saying that it's £170 unlocked. It's not a smartphone. The fact that it's the same spec as the 5800, runs Symbian Hat 1, and does everything that you want it to do, well, you know, it's an interesting point of discussion. And I suspect, you know, in the next couple of weeks, you're going to be talking about that strategy and the battle both at the high range, the mid-range, and the low range. And certainly the C503, it's a really strong contender for a good low-range phone.
I just wanted to highlight for people who haven't maybe read the Ewan's review and to point out it's not just your run-of-the-mill S60 5th edition phone along the lines of the previous, like the 5230. There are actually some software tweaks that people will not realize until they start using it. I was very surprised, and I know you pointed out in your text that they've done a significant amount of one-tap integration changes, which really took me by surprise. It's not quite backporting Symbian 3, I think, but they've certainly taken some ideas that they from the devices like the C601 and the C7, and they've applied those to the interface code in the C503, such that you can do just one tap in Photos, one tap in Music Player, one tap in Contacts, and you don't have to worry about the double tapping, highlighting, and tapping again. So I've been quite impressed, really, and I was impressed they went the extra mile on this.
Yes, I agree, Steve. In fact, people should probably realise that a 65th edition has effectively had a minor update since the 5800 early days. And we've seen that in numerous firmware updates we've seen for devices like the 5800 and the 5230. And obviously the C503 gets that straight out of the box. But if people want to know more, they can go read about it on the site. Ewan now has two parts of his review up where he goes into quite a bit of detail. And it's easy to ignore devices like this. But if you're on a budget and you're looking for something, yeah, the C503 is quite promising, so you can go and read about that again on the site www.allaboutsymbian.com.
Exactly. It's like everybody loves Ferraris, but they still think the Ford Mondeo is one of the best cars on the market. It's mid-range, it's kind of average, but it does everything you need it to do. I'd kind of see this phone and the C5 rather much like that. C5, man, possibly a potential sitcom there if BBC has to cancel Top Gear. Right then, we're pretty much out of time. We stuff we couldn't talk about. We couldn't talk about Rafe moonlighting over doing a review for the Ovi Daily app. Couldn't talk about that, but it was Rollercoaster Extreme. She'd go along and say hi. We couldn't talk about all the other exciting things that... were there other exciting... Look, I'm going to stop here. I'm going to stop here because we want you to come back next week and hear those exciting things. I'm not going to tell you what they are. You have to listen. I'm Ewan Spence. It's the All About Symbian Insight podcast. It's a great big thank you to all of my guests. Steve Litchfield.
Yes, and I'm going to jump into my other C5, white and gleaming in the road outside, and zoom off into the sunset.
You know, I wasn't going to go there. you couldn't with a C5, let's be honest. Thank you also to David Gilson.
Thanks, everybody. I'm going to go to sleep.
Thank you also to Rafe Blanford.
Thanks, everybody.
Who hopefully will have me as a guest next week when he takes over the chair. And thank you all out there for listening. www.allaboutsymbian.com at AAS on Twitter. We're also on Facebook. We're around all the social networks where you would expect. Thank you very much for listening. Catch you next week. Ta-ra.